Art. If you would, you want to follow along, we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And I want to read verses 4 to 8. Hopefully a very familiar passage of Scripture. I have a sneaking suspicion, though, that most religious people may not be as familiar with the book of Romans as this place here. Because there's a lot of doctrine in the book of Romans. A lot of good doctrine, sound teaching. And that's what people are not itching to hear. But here we go. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, that is one of my favorite verses in all of the Scripture. Because that's what I want. But Paul here writes in the first eight verses of chapter 4, of two glorious things of the grace of God. The first thing is the imputation of righteousness to the believer. But the second thing is the one a lot of people don't pay any attention to, even though they read it. And I saw this written in one of Tim James' bulletins, an old one from the 70s. What he did was he copied down and put it as an article what Gill says about this, and I'm going to read it at the end of the sermon. But the title's what got me. The title he put up there, The Non-Imputation of Sin. Isn't that a glorious title? The Non-Imputation of Sin. That's my title, Paul. You know, better titles are made, I'll borrow them, you know. Don't matter. Paul has shown here that these two works of God are now and have always been tied together. The imputation of righteousness and the non-imputation of sin. Paul is writing here from the Old Testament, quoting the Old Testament from the book of Moses and a psalm of David to show us to be justified by grace and faith, and that is all of grace. You can't look at Romans 4, folks, without looking at Romans 3, because it's a continuation. I understand the chapter divisions, and I don't have a problem with it. But you do need to look at Romans chapter 3 for just a minute. Verse 23, Paul wrote, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, not ours, his, Jesus Christ's righteousness, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Not mine. Not mine. It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is the context of Romans 4. Paul writing about justification and righteousness and the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ's righteousness. And then he comes up and he says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. This is verse 3 of chapter 4. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Paul's still referring to the righteousness of Christ, not the righteousness of Abraham. Because he already said, if Abraham were to be justified by works, he'd have whereof to glory. There could be boasting, legitimately. But there is no legitimate boasting because you didn't do anything for God. He's done it all for you, or it's not been done. That's the context of Romans 4. Paul gives us the example of God's work to Abraham and David. Specifically, God's imputation of righteousness. And to teach us of the justification and grace and works. Now, if you look at this, the word imputation is used, let's see, from verse 3 to verse 10, it's used 7 times. In verse 3, where it says, counted unto him for righteousness, that's the exact same word as imputation, as imputed. It's imputed unto him for righteousness. And then in verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not imputed of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is imputed for righteousness. It's all the same word. And blessed is the man, of course, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. My. But he starts this way, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. There's a difference between works for salvation and grace for salvation. And Paul gets very clear. I'm not going to go there. But if you want to know, look at the beginning of Romans chapter 11. He will tell you it's either of works or it's of grace. Because it's of your works, you don't get no grace. And it's of grace, it's got nothing to do with your works. And that's the fact. Now again, I'll put in here, we are certainly not against, and we totally believe in works after grace. He'll see to it you work. He'll put in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. But that's not what Paul's referencing here. To him that works for righteousness or justification, that's work. You're saying God owes you something. And the only thing that God owes a human being ever, at the beginning of this book all the way to the end, is the wages of sin, and that's death. That's all God owes us. Because even our best deeds, our righteousnesses, our good works, are shot full of hell. That's just the truth of it, folks. It's shot full of hell. At best, they're filthy rags. That's my best deeds. That's your best deeds. Go ahead and hold them up to God. I still like what Daniel Park said about that, what Moose Park says. It says, we are so depraved that not only do we do these things because we think we can get righteousness from God, we show them off and say, hey, God, look at me. That's depravity. That's depravity. Oh, but then there's the other one. To him that doesn't work. Now, doesn't work for righteousness or justification. but believes Jesus Christ. Oh, that's grace, folks. That's grace. By faith believing. Guess what? Faith is the gift of God. Not of works. Ah, where'd they come from? Lest any should boast. And we believe, even after he's given us his faith, the faith of God's elect, the faith that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of it, we believe only by the working of what? His mighty power. We don't even believe on our own. Mason, I'd mess that up. If it's on me. I do know the feeling of that fellow that told Jesus Christ, said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You understand, we still got both in us now. Now the world, all the world's got, all the natural man has, all the unregenerate man has, is unbelief. Even if he's doctrinally correct. Even if he's doctrinally correct. All we've got is unbelief. Oh, but when God gives you faith, he'll see to it you believe. Yeah. And matter of fact, Jesus Christ is going to show himself to you so you know who to believe. Right. He'll do it through his word. He'll do it through his preaching. But not only the faith is the gift of God and we believe by the working of his mighty power, what is it? We are kept by the power of God through faith. You know what that is? Those three things? That's grace, grace, and grace. That's what it is. Oh my. And even as David also describeth the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth, I like this part too, righteousness without works. Oh my. You understand why Paul was saying here before, you know, you whosoever are under the law, don't you hear it? Don't you hear it? Your works are of no account. You can think you keep the law, but you don't. Because I don't know a man alive except one, Jesus Christ the righteous, that ever got past that first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you understand, that's not just on Sunday. You know? Lots of people get real holy and real pious on Sunday. Sometimes you're just nursing the hangover from Saturday. I understand. Not that I have any experience with that in the last 30 years or so. But I was a young man once. And I was unsaved at one time. I know how I think. I know how they think. The thing is, they don't know how we think. They don't. They don't get it. People think we're crazy. I said it a while back. He said, you know, why do you drive all the way up here? Past hundreds of churches, more than likely. At 70 miles an hour, I pass them, as a matter of fact, coming up the interstate to get here. But you know why? Because here I am free to hear his gospel preached. And I don't know of anywhere else where his gospel is preached. There's lots of people making a pretense of it. Lots of people are making a lie of it. More of them, many more, are making a show of it. Some are sincerely wrong, and some are not so sincerely wrong. Some are not sincere at all. But David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Ah, I like that. I like that. What do you mean? Don't you have to come to Christ? Yeah, you'll come to Christ. But you're only coming to Christ after he's found you. You're only coming to Christ after you know who he is. After he's revealed himself to you. in his gospel, in his word. Oh my. See, Paul writes that David gave us an example from the scripture of grace. And that's what this is. God imputeth righteousness without works. Without works. Justified, made righteous by grace freely. Freely. By faith. And actually, that's from Romans. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's 3 in verse 24. In Romans 5 and verse 9, he says, much more then, being now, we're going to tell you the source here of justification. Being justified by his blood.
Amen.
The source is always Christ.
Yeah.
The source is always God. We are not the source of anything except for our own sin. That's all we're the source of. And that's still to this day. What is it? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not through your works. Not through what you do with him. Through him. We are justified by his blood. How is that possible? Well, the payment of my debt was made by his blood. And if that's true, I don't owe that debt anymore.
Amen.
And I can be justified, made righteous, imputed righteousness without my works. Not without works. Not without works. No, no, folks. I'm not. No, no. It's not that kind of antinomianism. It's not without works. It's without my works. The work's been done over 2,000 years ago, right around there. There was work done, but I didn't do it. There was work done. Christ did it. There was blood shed, but it's not my blood. It's his. And I am justified by his blood. Saying this, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I've said it many times, I'll say it again. It's not, blessed is the man who does not commit sin. Because pretty much that man would be blessed. There was only one. And that man was blessed. And that man is blessed. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever went through this life without committing sin. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I like that. I like that. Now, very clearly, Paul tells us in verse 7, he's not talking about people who don't sin. A lot of that goes around. See, God saved you. Now, from here on out, you got to take care of your own sin. You got to confess them. You know. Well, you do confess your sins. You are to confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because he ever liveth to make intercession. But it's not my confession to a man or to even Jesus Christ. It's his blood. His blood. I'm justified by his blood. But they are, you understand, believers do commit iniquities and they're forgiven. And they're forgiven. Believers do sin and their sins are covered. They're covered by his blood. But God, and this is a glorious statement, the non-imputation of sin. God does not impute sin to a believer.
Right, man.
I've committed it, but God doesn't impute it to me. Oh, you're trying. I'm going for a technicality, Walter. No, I'm not. I'm going by the word of God. He says, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. We got iniquities. What? Blessed are those whose sins are covered. We got sins. And then he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know the glorious thing about that? Because of Christ's blood, because of God's grace, because of the faith, the life that he has given us, God does not see your sin if you're a believer. God does not see my sin. I'll make it personal. Remember what I read back just a little while ago? To declare, I say it at this time, his righteousness, the righteousness of God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Wow. How are you justified? He imputes to you righteousness. He imputes to you his righteousness, and he does not impute to you your sin.
Amen.
Oh my. By his grace we're justified, by his faith we are justified, and by his blood we are justified. Well, you can't have all three. Oh yes I can. Oh, there's something. Oh, we're justified by faith. If you believe hard enough, you'll be justified. No. Faith is his gift. And you believe by the power, his mighty power. And his blood was shed for the sins of many. God does not impute sin to the believer because God laid every sin of every believer on his Son. He doesn't impute sin to you because Christ paid for your sins. There's a debt. There was a debt. But that debt's gone now. I don't owe that debt anymore. You don't owe that debt anymore if you believe. It's paid. But I didn't pay it. It's paid. But you didn't pay it. Jesus Christ did. And I'm going to tell you this. He paid it. Long before I was born. And look at Abraham and David. He paid it long after they was dead. People don't want to talk about that sometimes. No. He paid. The good shepherd did lay down his life for his sheep. And guess what? That was sheep that had passed on. Like Abraham and David, and that sheep like us who believe Christ today. That debt is gone, and I don't owe it anymore. Guess what that is? That's grace, folks. That's grace. Oh. Now that the debt is gone, as far as the east is from the west, God said, I will remember their sins, what? No more. No more. That's grace. That's grace. By his grace, by his blood, by his power and might and work, we believers have no sin before God. Before God. Not saying we don't sin, but we have no sin before God. And guess whose sight matters in this deal? It's not yours and it's not mine. It's his. It's his. And the non-imputation of sin to the believer is a glorious manifestation of God's sovereign grace. I like that. There's a different debt now. That debt's gone. I've thought of this song. Owe to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Now, in Gatsby's got a little bit different what's in our verse and our song, but the same thing. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I like that, I do. John Gill wrote this, and this is about Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Excuse me. As he, God, does not to those whom he justifies in Christ, and by his righteousness for the sins of such he has laid on his Son as their surety. And he has bore them, took them away, having made full satisfaction for them, so that these persons will never be charged with them. There are no charges against the child of God. They now appear before the throne without fault and are blameless and irreprovable in the sight of God. And, therefore, must be eternally happy, blessed, happy. For he will never think of their sins any more to their hurt. He will remember them no more. He will never reckon them to them, but acquit them from them, justify and accept them. Wherefore they must be secure from wrath and condemnation, and they enjoy much peace and comfort now, and happy thereafter, or hereafter, in Christ Jesus. Like I said, Paul carries this on to Romans 5:9, talking about being justified by his blood. Well, there's a source. There's a source. You understand? Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no freedom. Therefore, though, with shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, there is freedom from sin in God's sight. What did it say? I always like this. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory? In these four words, but not before God. I'm going to tell you something. I am a sinner, but not before God.
Right.
Ha! Oh, I'm getting cocky now. I'm getting bold. No, I'm bragging on my Lord. The only reason, and this is the truth of you. You are not, if you believe Jesus Christ, if you know him, if God has saved you from your sins, that's what it means. You are not a sinner before the eyes of God. Oh, I can be antinomian that way. Yeah, it didn't take the law to put me there. It took grace. It took grace. The grace. And it took work. You understand? People say, well, y'all don't believe in works. Yes, we do, just not our own. I don't believe in my work. I know too much about it. And I don't trust my thought processes when I'm doing good things. But there's work. Yes, there is. Blessed work, perfect work, holy work, gracious work. But it's not of mine. Not one single jot or tittle of it is mine. I didn't keep the law, but Christ did. I didn't love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, but Christ did. And guess what? That's been imputed to me too. That's his righteousness. He did everything right, and here's the tough part, folks. He didn't leave anything out. I got a hard enough time trying to do something right, Walter. But I leave a lot of things undone. And you ought not leave the other undone. Therefore, with Christ's blood, there is freedom from sin in the sight of God Almighty. It is by his blood that he is our righteousness. It is by his shed blood that believers are forgiven all iniquities and sin. And it's by Christ Jesus himself that though we sin daily, hourly, and minutes, every minute of the day, those sins are not imputed to the believer. The non-imputation of sin. I like that. I do. What about today? What about tomorrow? He shall not impute sin unto them. Right. And that's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. That's the happy man. I didn't send you a song verse today, Walter, because I was going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it here. I would sing it, but I don't know the tune. It's one of them ones I don't know. But here it is. Join every tongue to sing the mercies of the Lord. The love of Christ, our King, let every heart record. He saved us from the wrath of God and paid our ransom with his blood. What wondrous grace was this? We sinned and Jesus died. He wrought the righteousness, and we were justified. We ran the score to the extreme, and all the debts were charged to him. I read that this morning. I really like that. One of these days, I'm going to find out what that tune is. But here's the thing, folks. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. He's done it all. And he's done it for you. He's done it for all his sheep. Understand, a lot of things come to a head when Jesus Christ died. When that good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, and he did. And after that he told him, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them I must bring. You know why? Because he shed his blood for them. He's going to bring every one of his lost sheep in. And there's going to be one fold, and there's going to be one shepherd, and God will not impute sin to a single one of them. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time, for your precious word, your gospel, the work, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did everything according to the will of the Father, you. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with us. Be with Paul and Walter as they come to preach your word. Help us to live in this world believing you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.